Bad Boy Show Show with Peaches and DJ Motai.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Beezy, the Southeast Beast.
What's going on, man? It's your boy Jack Freeman, H-Town representative.
It's your boy D-Lo, man.
It's Cab the Dumb, man.
What's good? Space City, the great city. It's your boy Roots Williams.
Hi, this is Booker T, five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show.
I'm the man.
We have
that was so gay.
It was a little.
It was so gay.
Hey, Peaches, that's an inappropriate term to use. You might offend some people that way.
I was gonna call him a sissy.
Sissy works.
What is Peaches saying? She's talking about me.
She said, "What are you doing talking about him, Peaches?"
I can't.
I have no idea what you're saying,
bro. It's okay.
Just through the phone or something,
bro. Can you not? We're on the intro.
Did he say kiss me through the phone?
No, he said, can you talk closer to the phone? Anyway, it's a fake Monday morning. Motai, I know you couldn't make it to the studio today. Are you good, man?
Yeah, I'm good, dude. I'm at home in K-Town.
In
that's
K-Town?
What you want to call it. Yeah.
Anyway, we have a good show for you today, don't we, Peaches?
No.
We don't? Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. It was just we had a weird guest today. His name is DJ Auditory. He's a DJ in a hip hop group.
DJ Auditory T Daddy.
T Day. He's in a hip hop group 220, and he's also the man behind the Love It Maine mixtape series of Screw Tapes. And we talked about a lot, didn't we, Peaches?
What? You can't talk.
You know I can never talk on the intros.
You can't talk in life. It's really sad. Like, you get a mic, and then all of a sudden, you just...
I love mics. I think I'm thinking... You know what I think I do? I think I think too hard.
You like mics next to your mouth?
No, but I see you got the tip to your lips.
So do you. You taught me well.
All right, I'm definitely cutting this short.
Go me.
So we're gonna get into. Hey, Motai, you ready for your Monday morning music mix?
So you mad? You gonna cut?
Yeah, I'm gonna do it over the phone too, man.
You gonna do it over the phone too?
Yeah, I'm doing it over the phone.
All right, we're gonna get into it right now. Then we'll be back with our interview with DJ Auditory here on the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. DJ Motai, let's hear the Monday morning music mix.
Oh, what the? There you go.
All right, y'all, stay tuned.
She got a hell of a booty. I swear that is juicy. She got a mind on the money. May make it back if she lose it. Okay, her fabric is Louis. But it's all grown when she do it. Don't touch, she throwing it back. Laugh at your ass if you lose it. And then she lay me down. Yeah, lobster and soda, drinking Moscato from Golden Bottles. Some chick gon' come over, peeking the Rangers, the Rover. Yeah, no time for Corolla. She want a Switzerland bank account in the crib, big as soldiers.
And everything got come, it is that fashion and come, it is faster the better. The way she whip is the problem. Oh, my thing got a shine. Oh, yeah, she the test is the coney. Oh, no, skip it at light. And she might finesse the homies. Oh, yeah,
I'm a kamikaze in the Maserati, make your body move. Gold diamond chain when you swing, make you pop it, ooh. Rennies from the ceiling, that's the problem too. Make that money, take that money, baby, nothing's stopping you. Racks, 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 ooh. Racks, 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 ooh.
She fallin' for whoever paid her rent. Well, a big bank sip, use a lips to the lip. Wanna wet shit, better pay that tip. Make sure till it ain't got shit. So when I throw it up, bitch, you ain't got this. Going out, glowing up like it ain't no big. Let me check my shit.
Count Ben Franklin's, all the big faces. Tryna find love, but she in the wrong places. Walk in the club, buying bottles by the cases. Call her by the eye, now she calling me a favorite. Gotta like work, hold up. Throw the money in the air, now friends coming over. Then I gotta like work, hold up. But I ain't a superman, I throw a little cash in the cash.
$2,500, let alone you alone. No money, I'm a lane, this ain't no game. I seen my bill, in case it's still no sleep. More bill, in the world of alone, just me, my kids. My kids go broke, so I break these trees. You know I'm a bad, situation so drastic. But still gonna have it.
Chain when you swing, make you pop it, ooh. Minis from the
hit the scene, turning heads. So fine, she give me hoes, clicking pause. Chrome heels on her, but the lips are swole. Turning lane, she dropping top. They asking what a stripper pole. Niggas know, and in the parking lot, I crash spots. 15s up in the trunk, bought my bitch the mad shots. I blast clocks. A Winnie Jacker, get a homicide to take her. Gotta kill me, that's the real meaning of riders.
Ride with
me,
ride. So I let him roll with me, I let him roll with me. So I let him roll with me, I let him roll with me.
She said she wanna ride with a G, ride, ride with a G, ride, ride with a G, ride, ride with a G.
So I let him roll with me, I let him roll with me. So I let him roll with me, I let him roll with me.
I got the dash, lit digital, grind slab critical. Take you to the play pad booth, give you a physical. I promise not to lose control. I let her hold from the drop to the bedroom pole. I'm so cold. California Kush, California King. Girl, you're fucking with a true street dream that's getting cream. Back to this beautiful slab that I admire. Fresh meat, white dime chrome on every tire. I'm here to take a look at your mind in no time. That umbrella grind just blocking your true shine. Upgrade your game and lead and broke dummies. 760 hugging the grind on new Ashanti. Hood nigga repping the block that didn't change. Still let the top fall down and cut a lane. A G kinda digging your style but love money. Slab King crawling the turf, it's 100.
She wanna ride with no beat, ride, ride with the beat, ride, ride with the beat. She wanna ride with the
paper. I just want the money, the paper, the paper. My crew's all about you know that. And anyone that breeds trying to be where the dough at. And that's a go factor, yo. I ain't make the rules. I'm just trying to keep a couple dollars after paying dues. Matter of fact, homie, I just need a little bit. Slave every day, 9 to 5, just to get a cent. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't sick of it. The room around the cooler is they bout to cut our benefits. I think it's pretty obvious the cash rule. Money isn't everything, tell it to my past dudes. Man, only chase it cause I have to. Sick of living life off of cigarettes and fast food. I really wish that I could say fuck it, but I had to cut rolling blunts out the budget. Since I need something just to help me get by, I'ma pack a bowl with my lows and I'll get high.
I don't want no liquor, I just want the paper. The paper, I just want the paper. I just want the
money.
The paper, the paper.
My crew's all about
paper.
And recently, everybody trying to get a piece of me. Like I ain't noticed when a snake put its teeth in me. I'm on the grind, dog, same way you need to be. A grown man with his hand out his thievery. And this spinach is incentive. Anybody living trying to plot on how to get it. Now listen, I am not content with percentage. You kidding? You dumb motherfuckers better read between the digits. Yeah, homie, I'ma stay real with it. Every student eye look at me like I'm a meal ticket. I just deal with it. It ain't nothing new. Money make them turn their back as they front on you. And I hustle too hard just to sit in class. I got dreams of getting past lower middle class. If you're feeling broke, go and turn your speakers up. This the anthem for anyone that need a buzz.
I don't wanna rape ya. I just want the paper. The paper. Paper. I just want the paper. I just want the
money.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. Oh, where's Mo Tie? I need some.
I got you. I got you.
Okay.
Bring it back.
Welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. Yeah. Hey, one DJ replaced another. Not replaced, filled in for another.
Oh,
DJ.
Yeah. I always got Mo Tie's back.
They want to say replaced. That's unkind. We have a good show for you today. Peaches, how you feeling first?
Tori taking my last gummy bear.
Man, they got the best snacks over here. Like, you should
get
see half the
snacks.
Stuff they have.
You know, that's what we're known for. Not for our hard-hitting questions, not for our entertaining interviews. The Brad Gilmore Show on the Man has the greatest snacks.
Yes, La Tapatio Cheetos and what else?
Sour Punch Straws.
They got the exponentially big, bold bears, the Charlie Bites. Them hoes is 4 times larger than your classic bear. That's live.
I'm not sure.
4 times? Is that what it says?
Grab 4 times the first
yeah.
Lunch.
When I saw those, I was like, why are these bears so big?
Yeah, I know, right?
All right. Anyway, we have DJ Auditory in here with us today.
What's good? What's good?
Is that your intro?
Nah, I just think it's funny that people call him that because I don't call him that.
You call him by his real name?
Yeah.
His government?
He slinged mine all over.
Yeah, I mean, it's Carlita. But, I mean, I know she's, like, you know, Hollywood celebrity now and stuff. So, like, you have to call
Peaches. Peaches has gotten bougie. Really? Peaches has gotten bougie.
I'm Hollywood celebrity. Yes, you auditory. DJ auditory.
Let's not do this on the record, please.
Let's, you don't want to play? Because we ain't got to play. You want to? Because you and I can.
I mean, we can do a follower check if you talk about it.
A what?
A follower check? Because you don't want to, like, shine it on Twitter. Don't you get, like. Oh, wait. No, let's not talk.
Let's
not talk about. Let's not talk about Instagram now.
What's going on? She has the juice on Instagram.
Yes, don't she?
Brad be jealous.
600 likes.
I am jealous. I am jealous.
She got this new weave in her head. Now she don't know how to act. Like she
does. Oh, she got that Peruvian plugs in?
Yeah. Yeah.
You like that? Like my alliteration?
She got that Tasmanian Remy.
It's all right. You try it.
Whatever.
Anyway, so we have DJ Audit. Do you not like his stage name? Is that what it is? You don't like Auditory?
No, I'm Auditory. That's what people don't understand. Like, well,
y'all go back, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Let's talk about y'all. Talk about y'all's relationship. How'd you meet?
I met Tori.
Frat House.
This is the first person I met going into U of H, like going to college. This is the first person I met because, like, I had to look for a place to stay, and I was too bougie to stay at, like, the, what was it?
The dorm.
Yeah, because you're light skinned, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, like, it was like, one, you had to pee with everybody, and then two, it's just like, you don't get no privacy. So I was just like,
yeah, you had to wear the flip flops to the
and I was like, nah, I'm good. So I went to Bayou Oaks, and she was actually working there as an RA, and that's
she was probably terrible.
No, actually, she was super dope.
I was probably one of the best RAs that ever came through
in existence of Bayou Oaks.
Yeah.
She was just, like, super cool. Like, she pretty much set the tone for, like, the whole apartment complex, like, while we were staying.
The entire property.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, everybody felt, you know, like, cool. And it was kind of like Bayou Oaks was a family because she kind of brought that element to Bayou Oaks. It was pretty dope.
Oh, Peaches. I like to hear pre-Peaches story because I haven't known Peaches for a
very long time. Before the game was live.
The thing about it was that's not even pre-Peaches. Like, I went by Peaches. Then that was Peaches before.
Pre-industry Peaches.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Well, I don't consider myself
she was ratchet,
industry,
too. Like, she was ratchet. Like,
I had contacts. They were Hazel. You used to wear
No, you weren't that girl.
No. She had, like, the super hoops. You know, like, the ones.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the Dallas hoops. Like,
the ones I can stick my head through?
Yeah, exactly. Like, the ones you can hula hoop with. Like, she had them hoes walking around campus.
I remember a phrase from school, like, the bigger the hoop, the bigger the hoop.
That wasn't from school. That's from some song, and I don't know where it came from.
It came from high school.
Oh, that's that Twerks, or no, that's that Try song by DJ Toes.
Yeah, the bigger the hoop, the bigger the hoop.
Is there any truth to that, Peaches?
No.
Oh, hey, y'all can't see her on the air, but she just super smart.
I ain't a hoe.
Anymore.
I never did get that hoe phase.
You never went through the hoe phase?
No.
What is the hoe phase?
The hoe phase. Every woman goes through the phase where she just kind of whores herself out.
I feel like that's just normal sex at the end of the day. But it's just like they feel guilty about it.
No, Tori, some of us like classy women.
No, I mean, it's cool. Like,
Brad
honestly,
ain't one of them. I don't even know why.
Hey, I've reformed my ways.
But it's like at the end of the day, like, you're either going to have sex or you're not going to have sex. And it's like if you're going to have sex, then you've already did what you did. So, like, I mean, either keep doing it or not.
But here's the thing. Like I think a hoe phase, quote unquote, for a woman, right, is like you have 7 days in a week. And you have 7 dudes in between the sheets.
That's a little excessive.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's like.
That's a little excessive. I mean, I'm not knocking it if that's what you do.
Those
are
huge hoop wearers.
I think that's disgusting, but do you, boo? However, that's a little excessive.
My thing is just don't let nobody know what's going on. Like, if that's how you're going to live, like, keep it, like, completely to yourself. Like, you need to treat that like a 007 operative lifestyle.
It's one of those things where it's like, if people will learn to be quiet. And keep them, like, you know, back in the day, women used to hush. Like, we were very good at being silent. We were very good at being seen, but not being heard. And, like, a
lot of... I wish you were still that way.
Brad.
I told her on the way over here, I wish they would revoke the women's right to vote.
Because we was at the gas station, and I don't remember what happened.
She was yelling at me.
Something happened.
Go tell the story.
Thank you. Something happened. It was a black cop outside on a motorcycle. He was like, "Look, I'm gonna take you to jail." And I was like, "He was like, I'm gonna tell the cop." I was like, "It's a black cop. I'm a black woman. You're gonna go to jail."
Yeah.
Then and I was like, "What? Like, I was like, yo, we're past racism. Can we bring sexism back? All right. I want the gender."
It's like the dudes are like, "Hey, let's get on these women. Like, why are we ignoring them right now?"
Right. Yeah. No. Exactly.
No, it was
just joking, but. Tori here is here. He has a new mixtape series out. But I want to talk, before we talk about that series, all right, let's talk about your beginnings as a DJ Bobby when you were Gaines? Just Tory and you
Dr.
had
Dr. DJ Auditory.
Okay.
Dr. DJ?
And it's funny because we have
Please
the right
Please tell
person.
Me that's true.
Yeah, yeah. Well, on Twitter, like when Twitter first, we was made that.
No. Let me first
of
all. I
did not realize
no.
how much y'all went back.
No.
Oh, we're like brother
like,
and sister.
Like Tory, like that's this is my brother. Like this is my real life little brother.
Okay,
like,
cool.
Before Tory started to DJ, I was like the only one out of all the friend group that had Twitter. And they used to clown the shit out of me about Twitter. Talk about how whack it was. Like, I was the only
like,
one.
Team yeah, Facebook.
We was like Team Facebook. We wasn't giving up Facebook back in 08, because that's where you found about all the parties. So you found out about, like just everything that you need to know about. Like, it was all on Facebook. So then, like, Twitter got around, and it was like, what is this weak-ass second?
I remember everyone was just like, it's just a bunch of Facebook statuses.
Yeah, exactly.
How cool is that?
Exactly.
And that's what everybody that's said. Whack. And I kept being like, it's like a big old chat room. It's like, imagine AIM back in the day. It's a big old chat room. That's really what it is. So, and I'm talking about for months, they would just, they did it for a couple months. And then slowly but surely, they started
joining the Twitter.
The next thing you know, Tory's the king of Twitter.
I got on Twitter. I didn't realize how funny it was. Because, like, with me, like, how I function,
Tory
like,
was
I,
messy
I
Twitter,
think,
though.
I think, like, I think a lot. Like, I think too damn much. So, it's like, when I have a place to, like, throw my pointless ass thoughts out to, it's like, oh shit, you giving me something like I need my life. And so I just cling to that hell. Like, even when I tried to stop doing it, like, I kept doing it. It's just like where I go to get my stupid
and
thoughts out.
And that was
out.
Before he even decided to become a DJ.
Oh yeah, this was like,
that was pre that.
Yeah, super.
But
early.
Like by a year or so, maybe.
Man, I decided to join Twitter. I was actually watching Larry King live one day. And,
how old were you?
I don't know. Whenever Larry King was still
Twitter's
on the air.
History now. It's funny.
Like, no, because I'm pretty sure I joined Twitter when Brad was still in high school.
Hey, why you put me out like that?
Did you graduate in like 10 or something?
11.
11? Wow.
Yeah. Damn.
2011.
See, I was just saying, like that 11 was the year I was supposed to graduate college.
Yeah, 2011.
Oh, you just failed.
2011, I was like, oh, shit. It's time to start doing. Like, 2011, I was like, okay, I got to really
go
in on
this DJing.
That's
when we was like, okay, so we didn't do this the right way the first time. So
yes.
What we going to do now?
In 2011, like, I was going on my third year in the industry, quote, unquote.
That's crazy. You started super young.
I did. I actually, the first show I ever went to was over at the Contemporary Arts Museum, Houston. First person I ever met in the hip-hop game was a guy named Fat Tony. Right.
Live.
First person I ever met. I was like 14, and I remember we ciphered outside of the Contemporary Arts Museum.
That's dope.
But anyway, I was watching Larry King live, and Ashton Kutcher and Diddy were on as the guests, and they were talking about Twitter. Diddy had a shirt. Diddy had a shirt on that said, you know, at I am Diddy. And I was like, oh my God.
I used to follow
What does this at sign mean? I was like, this is cool. And then Ashton Kutcher's was A plus K was his name.
Mm-hmm.
And then Larry King was King's Things.
Wasn't Ashton Kutcher like one of the first people to like have the most
He
followers
was the first yeah, person he, to have a million followers.
He quit Twitter
yeah.
when he did some stupid stuff like a couple years ago.
He's back on it though, right? Is he
I
not?
Don't know. I don't. He lost Demi Moore and I'm.
And he gained Mila Kunis. Here, here.
Hey.
He
I mean,
did.
Yeah,
hey, Loki, he probably been knocking it down for years.
Oh, back in that 70 show days for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, off top.
That yeah, now that kind of changed. That kind of changed your perception.
Yeah. And then she like kind of got like a little finer.
Because
a little.
Like, when Maxim named her like the hottest woman, I didn't agree. But then I just recently watched Ted, and it changed my mind.
She's just sexy. She's just a sexy woman.
Yeah.
She because I saw her in the Oz the remake that they whatever
oh, yeah.
that was.
We saw that together. Land of Oz, Great and Powerful.
We did go see that together. Mm-hmm. We saw it, and I didn't, like, not that she was ugly in that, but it didn't do anything for her to make me be like, okay, she's pretty.
Because
she looks weird, but it works for her.
She's not, like, conventionally, like, gorgeous.
No, she's not. She's ambiguously
Man, she
white.
Kind of like, if you take her to the room, it's going down. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
oh, yeah.
It's like jungle
Did you see
fever,
Friends
like,
with Benefits?
Real, like,
You want to see
yes.
that movie? Yeah.
I have seen
She was sexy in that movie with Timberlake.
Yeah, but she's
a sexy duo right there.
That
Pause.
Was just cute.
I would buy her a farm.
Hey, and you agreed with me something too, but let's not get too off topic, but I want to do a
topic.
We're talking about women right now. I do want to say last night, all right, I tweeted Ashanti's still bad.
Yes, Ashanti.
Oh,
I had like the biggest crush on Ashanti when I was young when she first came out, and it wasn't even really about her music. It was just like she's fine as hell, so I'm supporting that ass. You know, off top.
I do not know one Ashanti record.
Man, I seen it. She was on First Take, and I was just like, seriously, like right in the moment where I'm having like a man moment, like you bring her fine ass out, and like, that's what you like. You gonna distract me? Like I didn't even care what they was talking about. I was just like, nigga, Shanti's on TV right now.
Shanti's
is going down.
Who were some of your other like childhood or like adolescent crushes?
Let's see, Tatiana Ali. I used to have a crush on her.
A lot of people like her. She was cute as Ashley.
The older she got, I really wasn't that much of a fan of her. There was another girl that was like the same complexion as
her. I just got Tatiana Ali and Layla Ali mixed up.
Layla Ali's still fine.
I don't think she's fine
till she talks.
Yeah, her voice is
it's
deep,
like,
but
damn, girl,
fine.
What's your name? It's like, Layla. It's like, whoa, hold on. Chill out. I'm good.
She'll knock you
okay,
out.
Who the hell?
I know like, she would. That's why.
You like Tatiana Ali. Who else you liked?
Who else did I like growing up? I don't know why, but Robin Givens back then, she was like.
No, because okay. she was like younger. That was like the woman who was like, I guess, how not necessarily not comparing her to Halle Berry, but that's how seen she was.
Nia Long.
That's how, y'all, she's still fine.
Who
do anything
else?
For me.
What? Wait.
Nia Long doesn't do
you don't really like black
Dash.
Women if you don't like Nia Long.
I'm going to keep naming them. Who else?
Nia Long is fine. I can't believe you just said that.
I'm a little taken aback.
Garcelle, or what's her name? Garcelle Beauvais or something like that? Garcelle. She was the one that played Fancy on.
I'm going to say Fancy.
Yeah, Fancy. Fancy. Oh, my God.
I don't know anything you're talking about, right?
She did Playboy, too. Did you see that?
What?
Did you watch the Jamie Foxx show?
No, I didn't watch Jamie Foxx. Oh, was she the light-skinned kind of black chick?
No. Okay, I think you're talking about Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Was there a light-skinned black chick on Fresh Prince? Oh,
yeah,
Hillary.
That's what you're talking about.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. Yeah.
She wasn't light-skinned.
That girl?
Karen
okay,
Parsons.
Yeah.
I think that's her real name.
Okay, anyway.
Karen Parsons.
Who's?
Hillary.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
She has blonde children.
But okay, let me ask y'all both this. Who was the, because I know Peaches likes, you know, all girls half lesbian, and I know Peaches likes a little bit. So who was your number one, who was both y'all's number one growing up? I'm going to tell you mine was in a minute.
Number one went what?
Number one crush. Who's the woman crush? Like your number one, like I would right now have to marry this woman. I would give her everything I own.
Oh, Kerry Washington. And then she just got married, so I'm like, I'm kind of getting over it, but it's still like a.
What is it about Kerry Washington? I like Olivia Pope myself.
Yes, it's like that Olivia Pope, and then like her bottom lip is like so fat and juicy.
It's funny.
Like, so
she's a definition of somebody coming into their own because she was on Saved the Last Dance and nobody was checking for her. Everybody was checking for Julia Stiles.
But check this out. Hold on. Let's go back to that because in Julia like Stiles. When she played that role in it, she looked super. She was cute, but like they was
she
hulling
was
her because
girl fine.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like they was hulling her because she wasn't the main chick in the movie. Like was it Julia Stiles or
yeah.
So it's just like they was like hoeing her the whole movie, but like she was still fine. Like she had a little moments and shit, but. Nigga, when Scandal came out, I was just like, oh,
but she was doing work before. Like,
it's her character on Scandal for me.
It comes from a heart. Yeah, it comes from a place too. Like, I was just like,
because mine is Zoe Saldana. She is beautiful.
It was her for a while, but then Carrie, like, I don't care more
about
my size.
Because
you know who I think is gorgeous now?
Who?
Logan Browning.
That girl you were seeing the other
yes.
What do y'all think about
her? No, she is so fine.
I'm not gonna say.
You know who has a great track record with amazingly gorgeous women is Nick Cannon. Because he went from Christina Milian, right?
She was pretty.
It's something about corny niggas, bro.
To Celeste Ebanks. To Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls.
He did date her.
To Kim Kardashian.
What in the hell?
To Mariah Carey. That's a win. That's a major
how does
win.
He do
got
that?
Money.
It's been since Nickelodeon.
But this is the thing. We assume that, you know, what we see in the media is how they are. Like, Nick Cannon, like, Drumline
he got
still
long
go
money.
Hard. Like,
he got long money, though.
Yeah,
like, super long money.
It is real money.
Well, you know, he and Mariah together are worth $515 million.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
He's only worth 15 mil of that. I'm just gonna
but still, that's,
yeah.
He's worth $15 million.
That's a lot of money. I'm not sweating that. It's not $500 million, but I'm not sweating it. It's not half a billion.
I mean, look at how old Mariah
when I grew
is,
up,
though.
I was always like,
Mariah got a lot of years on Nick.
Yeah, I was like, why hasn't nobody taken Mariah? Like, why is Mariah still on the market? Like, I was wondering.
Because well, she married Tommy Mottola for a very long time, right?
And she was known for being a little crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Well, I think, I don't know.
We all
maybe
saw
she's
Glitter.
Like a super diva. I don't know.
She is a super diva. She was known for that.
She dated Eminem.
For a long
yeah.
time, she was known for, like, when she was on video sets, don't talk to her, don't look at her. Like, she's a super diva. That's something that's been known about her.
That's why Nikki wasn't really fucking with her on American Idol.
I mean.
Oh, because they're both
divas. I don't know
about any of that.
Being a little more diva-esque. Wouldn't you?
No, but I watched like a couple of episodes, and from what I seen, it was kind of like Mariah was the bougie one, and then And Nicki was more like the ghetto.
Nicki carries herself consistently since she's reached like that kind of pinnacle that she's at. If you watch her interviews,
she got way finer too. Like she didn't clean up all that like crazy shit. She took it, toned it all the way down.
Oh, Nicki,
maturing a little. But Nicki carries herself consistently. She hasn't lost the fact that she is who she is. Like she'll still handle you on Twitter, or she'll still handle you in an interview, and she'll still tell you what she's not. And you have to respect that, because a lot of times, a lot of these women, you know, you get into this, and then it's like, it's almost like you can't say anything. You don't. You have to bite your tongue. You have to be a lady. You have to not, you know, do this couth. And not do. You have to have couth. And then it's like, how much do you have to take? Like, you can't. Nah, I'm good. But let me tell you about yourself. No, like, so it's good to see that. It's good to see her be in charge of that. And she's on the Forbes list. The only rap bitch on the Forbes
list. Did you see DJ Khaled propose? Did you see that proposal?
Yeah, it was a publicity
stunt. I was with you when it came out. You was at my house.
Oh, was that? Okay, cool. I tripped out when I seen it. I was like, wow.
But did you see his album cover?
I didn't see the cover.
It's called
Suffering From Success.
Yeah, and he used that in the
Yeah, he used video. That, yeah. We both suffering from success.
I was just like, bro.
Did you hear the song though that like, came out?
Oh no!
I want you I or whatever.
Like a little bit of it, but I didn't.
It's like Nicki, Future, Khaled, and Ross.
Yeah.
I want you to be mine anyway. I want to say this, and then we're gonna talk about DJ's Auditory's career as a DJ. But my end all be all girl when I was growing up, right? Still to this day, I'm a wrestling fan, right? This girl named Trish Stratus.
Yeah, I already
knew. Do you remember?
I already knew that that's coming from. When you said Topanga was fine. When you said WWF, I already knew who you was going for. Like,
can you rock with me on Trish Stratus?
Yeah, she was bad. She was bad. I mean, then she was wrestling chicks like China. China was like, she was a baby Undertaker. So it was like, as far as fine chicks on WWF, she held it down.
She can definitely get it. Now, I want to talk about your music career here. So before you met Peaches, you set up a Twitter, right? But you still weren't in the music industry, okay? When did you start DJing? How'd that start? Where'd your passion for it come from?
Okay, well, to kind of like get that whole story out.
Oh, why did Peaches laugh?
I was there.
Like, okay, well, I've been in band since, what, sixth grade, so that's how I kind of, like, that's when I kind of learned about.
What'd you play?
Saxophone. Alto, tenor, barry, all that shit. So, but, like, I had got serious with it, I had been doing that and playing for that for 7 years, so, like, I knew about music at, like, another level of knowing about it. So, that was pretty cool, because at our school, it was, like, I went to this ghetto-ass school named Westfield, but, like, we actually had a band program that was, like, super
well
competitive.
Known. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well known. Yeah, like we had one the year before I got there, the school had won the national title at Bands of America, like they had won the national title and all that kind of stuff under Philip Geiger. So like that was like big. You know, that's big because that's the first time it ever happened. And so like I came in the year after, and then so from there it was just kind of like that's how I really just learned about music, learned about everything I know about and all that kind of stuff. But then, okay, 7 years later, I'm going to college, don't really care to go. I'm just going because everybody's like, hey, you too smart to go, or you too smart to not go, blah 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 blah. And I was just like, all right, whatever.
Were you one of those kids in high school who like really didn't have to study? Yeah. You were just good.
Yeah, I just kind of like breezed through high school.
Yeah,
it was just like whatever, you know?
Yeah,
and that's how, like,
because you didn't really like school, but you're like, okay, I liked
elements of it. I loved band. That's what I loved about school. Like band was my reason for going to school. Like every day I got excited to go to band because it was like that was my family, that was my home, that's where I was like comfortable with myself, you know.
Were you a little nerdy in high school?
No, I'm very nerdy.
Just in life, still.
Yeah, in high school.
Yeah, I'm tip of the iceberg nerdy, but I keep it like I'm trying to learn myself.
He was like he was a nerd that could assimilate.
Yeah, like I adapt really good. So
okay, cool.
Like,
okay, cool.
But yeah, and then that shit like. That was a big part of my life. Like that 4 years in marching band was very like inspirational to me as just a musician in general. Because I mean, I've always wanted to be like a musician, but I didn't know how really or whatever. Blah blah blah. So I get to college. First thing I do when I get to college, parties. Because like that's around the time Detox was popping and like they took over the city. So like I was involved in like going to those parties and experiencing like that was my first time experiencing DJing, like first like hands on like what that is.
We took them everywhere.
Yeah, we have a story. I remember this shit like it was yesterday. Like this is like the first time we all went out. It was like the first time we all like all of our friends that we had made at that time, like that was the first time we went to this club called Club Heat, and it was downtown. And man, we must have had like a fucking blast. Like this
it was like the it was right after Ike. Was it after Ike?
No, I think it was before Ike.
This was before Ike.
Hurricane Ike.
Yeah.
I just want to throw that out to people who don't know what
Ike Turner and anything like that.
This is post Ike Turner era.
Post Ike Turner era.
But yeah, we went in there and we fooled the fuck out, didn't we?
Like that was when downtown was popping, and you know how I guess you can hear people say, you know how everything is shifted like towards Midtown now, and,
yeah,
or it's off of Richmond, like it goes in a circle. So like I guess like my freshman year, like not my fresh, that was my sophomore year. So like 08, 09, it was everything was really downtown. That was your Butterfly Lounge, your Heat, like. All those clubs.
Butter down there too.
Everything. Like I went to Pink Monkey. So
yeah, Pink Monkey and Toke.
We used to go to Toke every Thursday. But it was
Toke
like
bar.
Yeah, like
all of that's Dallas how was it was.
Like when people were like, oh, you know, clubbing. Like no, I did that. It's exhausting.
Yeah,
we went everywhere. We were everywhere. Yeah.
So
like, that's
you're
how
going. You're going to the clubs, and so then okay.
Yeah, and then after that, it was just kind of like. I was like, I started recognizing a pattern with DJing, and I was just kind of like, I could do that shit. Because I kind of.
That's what we did in our spare time.
Yeah, like, yeah, we would throw parties at Bayou Oaks where we stayed at. Like,
so I'm saying we, Peaches. This ain't about you.
She was really a part of a lot of it, honestly.
That's just, like, it's not, I'm not trying to be funny, but, like, we were there, like, some of Tori's
just,
first
just
gig.
Like Peaches trying to take credit.
No, like, Tori, when he first started wanting to DJ, I knew a lot of the promoters, and they would need DJs for the house parties. And I'd be like, shit, Tori, come DJ. Like it
to this day, she still brings you up when people need a DJ. We interviewed somebody and they were like, I need a DJ. And you're like, DJ Auditorium.
Yeah, like.
I mean, that's love. I mean, I appreciate that. But I mean, if anybody needs anything, like if anybody needs to talk to Peaches about something or ask a question, I would.
If anybody.
Thanks.
If anybody, you know, if anybody needs like a semi ratchet but semi bougie girl with Peruvian hair. Peaches.
No, if you just need anything, just holler at me. I'll send you.
Ask
right
Peaches
direction.
Tomorrow, by the way.
She's like the Houston A&R.
Hashtag fake Monday morning. She's
fake
like, what?
Monday morning.
Oh, yeah, we is fake Monday morning, right?
Fake Monday morning, Ronnie's parts.
Oh, I'm tired. I mean, I'm just waking up and shit. All right, but what was I talking about? Okay.
You're talking about DJing.
Okay, yeah, so I seen
let's find out how this happened.
All right, so I seen the parties, and I was like, I started recognizing the pattern with all the DJs and how they DJed and like seeing like what they did, and I was like, I could do that. Mm-hmm. You know, just on some nerdy shit like that shit's not hard, and so I just started trying to do it, and then it wasn't until 2010 that I actually took it seriously, because I did a couple apartment parties and it was actually kind of live, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm figuring it out, and then it's just like I've always followed music and I've always collected music. I'm kind of like a music librarian type shit, so where it's just like whatever I like is what I, you know, what I gravitate to and just listen to. So like I had a lot of music already.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of incorporating what DJing is with that and just, you know, giving it out. And
if so, you had to define what a DJ is, what is Auditory's definition of a DJ?
A DJ is really like a cultural historian, or, you know, like a DJ is a person who's responsible of like keeping a true history of what's going on in life. You know what I'm saying? Historian. Yeah, like, yeah, musical historian. So it's just like everything, like we kind of celebrate the moments. And when you can listen to a song and then remember where you were and, like, you know, remember what it stood for, remember what it, you know what I'm saying? Like that's kind of like
that's
what
undermining what a DJ is. I think a DJ is a bridge from the artist to the person, because at the end of the day, they're who controls what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They're at the radios, they're at the clubs, they're, you know, they're mixing your tapes, they're hosting your tapes. They're the bridge. They like, if you are the voice, they are the microphone. You know what I'm saying? And that's the difference between a good DJ and a bad DJ. You know, a lot of the DJs that you see have really used their platform to help artists and it not solely be about them. A DJ is, in my opinion, you know, somebody who has to master the art of being selflessly selfish, like doing for you to do for other people, but you have to do for you first. Like a DJ has to build a platform to help an artist.
Exactly.
And it's like, it's one of those things that's not personal. Like a DJ can't break a record if nobody's checking for the DJ.
I see what you're saying. Okay, that makes sense.
So I think.
So how does the DJ get hot?
It's just by him having the hottest shit, or not even that. It's just like if he has a reputation in general for whatever he does. I mean, you can. There's a lot of different ways to pop as a DJ. Like you can. It's so many different things to do, but it's just kind of like you have to find your own lane that's yours and that you can, you know, that can't nobody duplicate or can't nobody just emulate really easily. So. I mean, once you can really do that, then it's just like, you know what I'm saying? That's when you can really do shit, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, and honestly with these screw tapes, that's kind of what I'm trying to do is just like do something that can't be done by anybody else because they're not doing it at the level that it needs to be done at. Because, you know, like, I mean, nowadays it's just like, where can you really find a DJ that's actually going into the city, finding artists that he knows, you know, and people that he knows, and like just genuine musicians in the city, and like putting them together on a tape, regardless of like what side he's from, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, just all that kind of stuff. Like, I take all that into account when I'm doing this stuff. It's like, it's not about me. At the end of the day, it's about my city, and it's about like what's missing from our culture. Because, like, you know, the whole screw culture, it was just like it was a pivotal thing for Houston. Like, it was a huge thing for Houston for us to even have that to attach ourselves to. Like, it was just that shit, you know? And so for it to be gone for, what, about 13 years now, and nobody really, like, do it like Screw did it, is just kind of like, you know, why not try? You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's, like, with these Love and Main tapes is definitely something that's, like, I'm trying to, you know, it's like I'm trying to revive a culture in Houston through doing the tapes and, like, through being as musical as I can with them and just, you know, kind of updating it to bring it back to, you know, to where it can adapt to the times that's going on now, and just really, you know, be able to be something that's even relevant in today's age, you know what I'm saying, of music and all that kind of shit. So
now, you said you know, it's been gone for 13 years or what have you, and you want to bring it back. What do you think of people out there like people who are still doing it, like the OG Ron C, like DJ Slim Candlestick, K,
yeah,
Slim
like
K.
The Child Stars and all that. Like, I mean, it's cool, but I love what they do actually. It's just like, what they're doing is they're doing the art of it, but it's like there's another step to it, to where it's just like you're getting people in the city, like you're getting the city involved with the tapes.
Okay, what way?
So it's just like, so like with me, it's like
freestyle. Yeah, because it's session tapes. They're not.
Yes, yeah, it's not like like I'm doing the albums and stuff like that.
What,
are you auditory?
Yeah.
She like, she feel me, so she understand.
I know she feels you.
But it's like, it's I'm trying to involve the city with it. So it's just kind of like when the city feels like they can be a part of something, it's like they're more attached to it because it's theirs. You know what I'm saying? It's not just about me making some tapes or whatever. It's like me, you know, giving the city what it, you know, what it wants again. And that's just what it is. Like, once you have people in the city, like, you know, giving them out or whatever, and that they take pride in it because they're a part of it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's something that people can easily find out how to love or how to be a part of. You know what I'm saying? And it's not hard to get involved with it. You know what I'm saying? You can come through and freestyle whenever
it's
you want
consistent.
To.
It's consistent. And it is what it is, and what it is doesn't change.
Yeah. Like, even if I was to stop doing them, like, somebody else would pick right back up and then pick them up and then and start with their own and do it with their generation. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's something that Screw created for us to enjoy for all times. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, as long as somebody's trying to do it like that, then, you know, we can keep it going. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, if you're going to sit in the room and freestyle anyway, why not get it down?
Yeah, why not do it with your niggas, record it, chop and screw it, and then jam it whenever you want to. You know, like, that shit's fun. Like, as a Houstonian,
I mean, I've come live to some of the sessions, so.
Yeah.
I said it before you got here, I was talking to Peaches. The Dope EZ look.
Looking ass freestyle?
Yes.
Mention me in a freestyle, so I know it's real.
Yeah, like,
me in a freestyle.
Like, boys is actually, like, they boys be like quoting that line on Twitter and shit. It's actually kind of funny every time I see it.
Oh yeah, I see Peaches.
Well, cooking ass, and I was like, well, she do cook a lot. You can't deny that.
Her name, her name is after a food. Okay, so you'd only
I've
assume.
I've had the name literally since probably the 7th or 8th grade.
Peaches,
like, it's not
once again,
new.
This isn't about you.
It's always
why
about
do you
me.
Why do you keep bringing yourself in the mix?
It's always about me.
That's what
a co-host does. A co-host just interrupts and talks about themselves.
Is that what that is? All right, bro. Let's get back to this. let's talk about what we want to talk about.
But it's like, because if not, I get ignored. And then if I don't talk, they get mad.
All you have to do is speak up about the topic we're talking about, Peaches. All
right, so anyways.
It's not always what you want.
Hey, last I checked it is. Smile.
This is the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
You got that
with
right.
With Peaches and DJ Motown.
Yeah, with Peaches.
Did you whisper that part?
The Brad Gilmore Show.
With Peaches.
And DJ Motai.
They always remember the black girl.
So what, Peaches?
They always remember the black girl.
You are rather memorable.
Standout-ish.
You stand out. So let's get back
to you know what's funny? It's like no matter what I say to her, I can't get in trouble. Because it's like, I know I can get away with it.
Yeah, well... It don't be that crucial.
I know, and it don't. So I can just say whatever I want to.
I wouldn't try to test that theory
too much. No, don't try to test it perfectly.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's how
I've tried peaches plenty of times. And trust me, I've tried it with groups of people, and we still all failed. Like, I remember one time it was six or eight of us tried to attack her for, your birthday or something? Like, we tried to give her birthday list or some shit, and she fought all of us off at the same time. And, like, won. So it's just kind of like, what the?
See, yeah, after I got, that was done. See, I, when I met Peaches, she was more in, like, you weren't as, like, I'm about to rip everyone's head off. You were very, like, very polite, actually, believe it or not.
I was 19 Hold on. When I met Tori.
Can I please tell my story?
I was thinking.
You want to interrupt again? It's not about you.
Bad story's ass.
This story's about you. This isn't about you.
Okay. All right. Mic down.
But she was very chill and relaxed a little more. But today, somebody brought the beast out of Peaches. Okay, she's mad now.
Not the beast. I'm a tourist. They just flirted with the bull a little too much.
They flirted with the bull while wearing a red shirt.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's not that.
After the talk we had in the car, I'm afraid of Peaches because I drive a red truck.
I know how to respect her because I know what she's capable of. So it's just like,
yeah. No, I've learned.
You'll learn eventually.
Like, I've learned.
If nobody knows yet, they'll find out.
Like, and that makes it sound so bad. It's not even that. It's just like just be mindful of how you handle.
Be mindful that she's from Dallas and she will.
I am from Dallas.
She's from the real Ratchetville. Like
what, South Oak Cliff.
Are you from? No, you're from Duncanville, right?
Duncanville.
Yeah, that Ratchetville. That's what they should rename it. All right.
It's not that ratchet.
It's not. No.
No.
Duncanville, they actually got a nice ass high school.
We have a very nice high school.
I used to go to debate tournaments there when I was in high school.
We have a very, very
I was
nice
also
school.
On debate.
Man, you were a little nerdy.
I was on the debate team in high school.
Yeah, I was, but I did something. I didn't do the I did like pros where you had to perform and shit.
Were you always a fan of hip hop growing up?
Yeah. I grew up like my dad and my parents, well, my parents in general, they put me on a lot of music, like a lot of quality music at a young age. So like I was listening to like Mary J. Blige, like the Teddy Pendergrass, Luther. Like I was listening to all that growing up. Like just,
but they weren't huge into hip hop.
Well, my dad was like, my dad was into a little of everything. Like my dad actually, like he one of his favorite albums is the Tupac, what you call it, All Eyes on Me album. Like he had the double disc.
And
he was my dad. Like he's like super Christian dudes, but he was just like, yeah, this dude, he be cussing a lot, but I like his message, man. I like what he's saying, and I was just like, oh, okay, so you know. I've always been exposed to music and stuff like that, so there's a lot of history behind me in music in general. So
would you say Tupac may have been like one of the first hip hop artists you ever heard, or
actually like one of the first projects I got, like the first albums I got was that Rugrats album, and like yeah, like the soundtrack,
yeah,
the first one, and like I heard that's when I really got into music because like this shit was so fun to listen to. Like the Take Me There track with was it Blackstreet and Maya and Mace and all that. That's when I really got. That's when I was introduced to hip hop in general. I was like, who are these cats? So I started following them, Blackstreet and all this kind of stuff and Mace. And then that's when I kind of like found my way into hip hop. After that,
that's actually funny. I have a similar story. Like I heard the Space Jam soundtrack.
Oh really?
And there was the last track 14 was a song called Buggin', right? By Bugs Bunny.
That soundtrack went funny. Hard.
It was by Bugs Bunny.
Everybody had that hoe too.
Yeah.
Bugs Bunny spit the illest 16s, I swear.
Oh, you want to know another album I had bought? I had bought the Lil Wayne 500 Degrees album.
Okay.
And I had bought that out at Walmart. Actually, I bought all that Cash Money stuff. Like when they first came out, I had bought the Birdman album. What was the Birdman? It was Big Timers, I think. I don't know, one of them hoes, but I had bought those, and that's when I really was like, I was trying to be daring, but I didn't know when you buy them at Walmart, you'll get the edited version. So I was just like, crap.
So it's like every other word.
Yeah, it's like it did like that's all you hear the whole time.
Oh, have you like I did this the other day too. I bought an album. Have you ever quickly bought an album off of iTunes?
Oh, iTunes.
And don't check.
And don't read the edited part.
Don't check. Yeah. See if it's explicit. I can't remember who's actually. I think I wanted to buy Boss of All Bosses to have it on my phone.
Oh, that's
and I
great.
Bought the clean version.
Yeah, that's great to listen to clean.
Oh, it was terrible. it was slim. You shouldn't even let them do that. Don't even sell an edited version. It's terrible. I don't even see why they censor music.
Well, they stopped really doing it now. Like, I know it's hard for me to find clean tracks as far as, like...
I guess that would be...
It's only if you have, like, a mainstream track, but, like, a lot of people
don't
make...
But even on the radio, that's, like, when they had that when they played Tap Out, they bleep every other third word.
Well, that's the radio. I don't really listen to the radio anymore.
I mean, me either, but that's what I'm saying. Though.
He listens to podcasts.
Yeah, I do.
Hashtag BG Show. Hashtag
actually,
Fake
this is
Monday
the only
morning.
Podcast I listen to. To be honest,
that's fine. As long as there's one.
I always thought podcasts were kind of gay. Like,
how do you like the show?
I really like it. It's very insightful. Like, I find out stuff about people, and I'm just like, oh shit, that's live. It's like you kind of get an invitation into people's lives, kind of thing.
Okay, then let me ask you this: if you listen to the show, what's something interesting you learned from one of the guests we've had?
Last person I listened to be honest, was what's his name? Was Les. And like him talking about like his whole history with like Hurricane Katrina and him going to school here and meeting Slim Thug and all that kind of stuff. Like I didn't know his story ahead of, like before that. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know. And then I probably would have never known it either because I know he's like a quiet dude and stuff. But it was just kind of interesting to see like where he came from and stuff like that and how like you know especially like with interest in cars and all that. I was just like he's just a cool dude.
It's interesting to find out stuff.
What I liked about his interviews is kind of like his personality and how he's just kind of like a. You know, I'm a cool dude, but don't try me. You know what I'm saying? Like I respect that about him. Because it's like, you know what I'm saying? He minds his own business. He's about him, what he does. And, you know, he seems like he's cool people, you know? So.
Yeah. We actually have copies of his mixtapes here if you want to take some.
Yeah, I already got them. Yeah, you know,
you could take some with you.
I'll take them. Which one is it?
We got Struggle Continues and E36.
I'll jam the E36 in the car because I already got it on my
laptop. All right. Now, on that note of Tori boosting us up, we're going to take a quick break here on the Brag on Show on Demand so I can bask in that glory of him liking our podcast. Right, Peaches? You can talk now.
This is
your opportunity. I'm inviting you. I gave you an invitation. I stamped it and I sent in the snail mail. You got to say something.
Like, you can't.
You didn't get it because now it seems like I'm going in and she didn't have anything to say. See, Peaches, this is actually really smart of me. It's like reverse psychology of I'm inviting you to talk, but you don't want to talk. And now the listeners think I have some kind of power over you. Think about it. And now they're thinking about it. So on that note, I'm going to let them think about it while Motai plays some music. We'll be right here. We'll be right back here on the Brag Gilmore Show on demand.
On demand.
I was in Houston for a minute. Now I'm back in town. I said, I was in Houston for a minute, now I'm back in town. Rich on me, baby.
All it takes is one text, asking me where I'm at. Told her, baby, I'm on, but your destination is next. Now I'm coming down on that freeway, that UGK in my dick. Got that take it off on replay, like Pimp C said. Now she texting me that she need a bag, cause she ain't had it good in so long. And I'm like, damn, shawty, I'm speeding fast when I get to you, girl, it's on. And when I make it there, I just wanna see that ass. No boy shots and no thongs. She got that ocean, have a nigga sinking quick. Rock the boat on my Leah shit. I hit the block and showed up to piece the wheel. I see some rockets pulled up and Keisha lit. I know your neighbor. Probably never heard of me, but they gon' know my name when you screaming it. Cause I'm going in at the same time I'm showing out. Got a leg shaking, I roll around, I'm head crazy. No,
I can tell that she happy, see when she smile. Shout it a little dramatic, but it compliment her style. Late nights we get romantic, need a babysitter for the child. If I whip out, she like, ooh, child. I'ma hit that pussy all night, wake up, another two rounds. Living room got like, hey, bitch, we done not another two down.
Two.
Yeah. I was in Houston for a minute, now I'm back in town. I was in Houston for a minute, now I'm back in town.
Reach on me, baby.
She ain't worried by no nigga. Got her own bread, got her own business. Laced up in Isabel Marant, solid niggas thinking she gold digging. Truth be told, she got more than you, so what the hell you think she need with y'all figures? Ain't none better, so I drop whatever I'm doing down when she calls. Really ain't none better, it go down whatever from the bedroom to the wall. It's the ones who bear with hustle, never ask for nothing that a nigga wanna give out. Every time I hit it, man, I need some more, I notice. Can't resist it when the dope is potent. Shot it, ride the stick just like a roller coaster. Like to drive it quick, then at a slow motion. I be hearing it like I got sin, this life, I'm going dumb. I'm so unfocused, just a trail nigga. Trail nigga, all she want is a trail nigga. Most you lame, she need deal with it. I knock it out,
I can tell
kiss
that she happy, see when she smile.
Right.
Shout it a little dramatic, but it compliment her style. Late nights we get romantic, need a babysitter for the child. If I whip out, she like, ooh, child. I'ma hit that push out, night wake up, another two rounds. Living room got like, hey, bitch, we done not another two down.
Two.
Yeah, I was in Houston for a minute, now I'm back in town. I was in Houston for a minute, now I'm back in town.
I got this little quiet bitch who never said shit. She thick as hell, she scripted dreams and she from Texas. I'm well protected, baby Jesus on my necklace. Big flu, my nigga, big throw, my nigga, and DJ Eric. Propane.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Brad Gilmore Show. What if you what, Peaches? What if you what? That's right.
Stab you.
What if you what?
In the jugular.
What? What? That's right.
Don't play fussies with me.
We're back here with Drop Beats Not Bombs. We're back here with DJ Auditory. Now, a lot of it, now, for people who don't know, Auditory is also 1/4 of a hip-hop collective.
Oh, 220. Group. Yeah, for sure. 220.
Did you say 0220?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Like, 220. Like,
you know, I think when Tori's put out this mixtape series, he's got a little big headed. All right. Tori's like, I'm the star of the group now.
I've really been focusing on myself a lot. So it's just like.
Tori's like, yeah, I've heard about the stories of Spinderella and Jam Master Jay not being treated right. All right. I'm going to be the star of this group.
Honestly, we've been working on just developing ourselves as artists in general. So it's just kind of like we haven't really been. Really, like we've been worried about the music, but it's more about making better music at the end of the day.
Shit,
so it's like,
been around for a long time.
Yeah, we've been around for
too.
3 years too. Like when I first started DJing in April of 2010, like I met these guys a month later, and then they were just kind of like kind of pulled me
it
in.
Was at Bayou.
Yeah, and
they all well.
Yeah, because yeah, we all met at Bayou really, and then yeah, when I moved into the Plex, which is like where I was throwing all the parties and shit at, like they helped me move in, and that was like the first time I was like, damn, these dudes are pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't really know them, but they just came and helped because Mark was like, hey, our DJ's moving in. Let's go help him. And then at the end of the day, it was just like, I knew, like, regardless of anything, like, if I actually was to work with these guys and, like, have any kind of, any like, whatever, regardless of what we went through, like, I knew they're good dudes at the end of the day. So it's nothing I really had to worry about. Or it's not like, I never had to worry about, like, you know, just, any kind of janky shit in general, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're genuine dudes that, you know, just generally have, that we're just all like men at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just men, like, we don't have any, you know, ulterior motives or anything like that. We just, you know, we just trying to do shit and try to make shit happen, you know?
Now, when you're working with 220 and y'all working on a project or an album or a mixtape, whatever, I know, because I'm in a group too, I'm in a band too. How hard is it?
Oh, it's
work
extremely
with
hard.
Other personalities.
It's and with all of us, we're very strong, like strong-minded, very
yeah.
strong-spirited,
type A kind of personality.
Very, yeah, all of us are that way. So it's just kind of like we finally got into a place in life to where everybody's just like I don't care anymore. Like it's just like all right, let's just get it done. Like let's make it happen. Everybody knows what they can do. Just add some. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of like we've finally gotten over. I want this like this. I want this like this. I want this like that. Like, and it took 3 years. It literally took 3 years and a lot of shit to happen for us to just kind of understand. Like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter that damn much. Let's just make what we like. Let's just make it happen. You know what I'm saying? And we finally all kind of like we're there now. And like you can hear, like you'll be able to hear more of the music. You'll be able to hear, like, you know, us actually just trying shit out and being experimental and trying to develop as artists so that when it's time for us to be where we need to be musically, like, or if you need a certain type of song made, like, we can just make it like that because we already know. Like, we've practiced
you know
the art
who,
of learning,
yeah.
of learning, of making music. So it's just, you know.
Did any of them ever pull out the, since, you know, the group's four of them, right?
Yeah.
Three rappers, one DJ.
Yeah.
Right? Did anyone, when you ever offered your opinion, be like, hey, they pulled the card of, hey, you're a DJ. You don't know what
honestly,
you're talking about.
A lot of times.
You don't write these songs, Tori.
A lot of songs. Well, actually, I've written a couple songs, not to
okay.
be honest. But But like with that, it's just
probably
like
say he ghostwrite.
A lot of things that they see that I will see. Well, a lot of things they don't see. Let me get that. A lot of things they don't see, I see. And it's three strong ass voices against one strong ass voice. So it's like I have to be like the hey, y'all ain't gonna punk me. Like I know what I'm talking about. Like, listen to what I'm saying. Like it's kind of like one of those things. And but not that extreme. But it's just kind of like I have to stand up for what I believe in and what I understand and what I know, because you're competing your opinion against three other people's opinion. And
yeah.
To get everybody on the same page or to even envision what you see. To even think it's cool to begin with is just kind of like that's a task in itself. But you just kind of have to learn that and figure out how to do it or ways to make it happen. So it's just, I mean, yeah, it's a lot of growth going on.
Can you tell me though, like a story of maybe what's the most pointless thing that y'all argued about and it got so heated?
He's enjoying this for an entirely different reason.
Yeah, this is therapeutic.
He just feels like you identify with him, so I'm just going.
Oh, I know, I know what it is. I mean, this is us talking group to group.
Yeah,
type people. Yeah,
we
but
both
like
work, this 20 talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
With this. Oh, wait. What was the question?
What was the most pointless thing y'all argued about?
Oh,
you got
okay.
Way too heated.
Pretty much anything on it. No. Actually, what have we argued about that was just stupid that we argued about? I think we argued about, well, how we spelled the name was when we first tried to figure out how we was gonna do that. Like that was like the most longest ongoing thing because
I kept changing the meaning of the name.
Well, honestly, no, we never really had a true
and
meaning for that name.
Will came up with a second to none.
We was just bullshitting with all of that, to be honest. Like that was just something like. Because our, like,
it's not bad.
Okay,
though.
The real reason why 220 is named 220 is because Lonnie was listening to a track, and then when he was listening to a track or whatever, he like it stopped on 220, and I wasn't even around.
Yeah,
I always hear the story, and they was around, and they was like, okay, so what about 220? I was like, eh, but it was one of the best names they came up with because they had like the Backpack Boys and
awful
some other stupid stuff, and then they went to go perform. And then it was like, all right, guys, I need a name. And they was like, well, how about let's just go with 220. And then it was like, all right. And then it stuck.
And yeah, and then it. You can't get rid of it. You probably don't like the name, dude.
I never really cared because it's like you can whatever you had like whatever name you have, you can make whatever you want to of it. You know what I'm saying? Like I named my where I used to stay called like my what was it a duplex? I named it Duplex.
Yeah.
And then it ended up turning into like a college sensation of a party. Like you know we ended up being trending on Twitter in Houston at one time for a party we threw on MLK Day, and it was just kind of like
it was tight.
Yeah, it was live. Like
it was
just
out of my age range, but I went a couple times.
Yeah, it's like it was just like one of those things that was like super cool. But I mean, it you know, it's never about what you name yourself. It's really about what you make of the name that you have. You know, so
yeah, y'all did go through some different spellings, like the 220.
Yeah,
and then 2-20 spelled out.
Yeah, we're back. We're back on that one.
The is that
two
the
2-20? Yeah, and
it was. I had a whole little chant to the 220.
Yeah, we had 220 music. We had all. We had it's just 220, like 2-20.
Is that
out.
The official?
Yeah, that's it. This is done.
See, you have the problem of where y'all pick different spellings of your name. My group had the problem of we had one spelling of the name, but no one understood how to spell it correct. It's literally the words 20 and 11.
Yeah.
So many people 20-11. Or 2011, right? Or 2011.
Okay, how many stupid names have you gotten? Because we've gotten 2020, we've gotten we've gotten your names a couple of times, actually.
We've gotten y'all's names.
We've gotten...
Meanwhile, I'm taking polish off my nails if anybody wants to know.
2020, no 2200.
Oh, awful, yeah.
Yeah, like stupid
2011.
Stuff. Yeah.
Is a
2012.
Yeah. I remember we played this show on a rooftop downtown, right? It was us, Rico Jones, the Nice Guys, Doe Beezy, and Fat Tony.
Wait, was this that Hive Society show?
Yes, it was
back
in the Hive.
Yeah, I was at that.
Yeah. Well, we were playing, and I forgot who was making introductions, but she said, "And give it up for our first group, 220 Music."
Yes.
And I was like,
"Yes, you actually brought that memory back." I was like, "Wow." That's when I found that. That's when I found that like y'all would get our name too.
I was like, what? And I just had another revelation, Peaches. DJ Auditory is the first guest in the Brad Gilmore Show history to be on the Brad Gilmore Show original run, Brad Gilmore Show at Night, and the On Demand Show.
Look at that.
When was the other one?
When I interviewed 220 one time.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was pre-Peaches.
Been doing these for a minute.
Nigga, you ain't special.
Nigga, I've been on here longer than you have. You need to get it correct.
Oh.
So let's talk a little bit more about Love It May.
Love It May.
So were you just sitting around one day and said, "Man, I'm going to start mixtapes"?
Well, nah. It was actually Los Cosby that really came to me with the idea.
What's funny is I go back with him too.
Yeah, like it's kind of crazy because like I always had the idea of doing them. Like I would make Chopped and Screwed songs just to make them because like honestly I feel like, you know, as a DJ, why wouldn't you want to make Chopped and Screwed albums or whatever, just or Chopped and Screwed songs in general, because you have the ability to at least try it. And so I would always try it, and then Los was the one that was actually like, "Hey man, you should do these tapes, man, and just actually try to bring back that screw thing."
Why you sound like him though?
Because that's how he came to me with it. He was just like, "Yeah, man. Like, hey man, you know what I'm saying? What I really think is this." How he said it. It's what I really think is. I think you're the DJ to do it. You know, I want to do these screw tapes. You know, I think we can figure it out. We can figure out how to do something, man. We can just try. We gotta just try. And I was just like, "Well, shit. All right, let's do it then. You know, let's try to make it." And now it took us 3 months to really figure out how we was going to do it, or like to really understand the art of chopping and screwing it. It took me 3 months to really just study it and just, you know.
What'd you learn in those 3 months?
I really just learned about like what he did as far as like scratching and bringing it back and using different, you know, effects and all that kind of stuff, and like how he would go about, you know, just doing everything, and like the whole aspect of recording live. That was the thing that I kind of really learned about, because I never really enjoyed like recording stuff live because I was so bad at it, you know.
Yeah.
And even now I'm not even just the greatest, because I've only been doing these screw tapes for like maybe 5 months now. So it's like I'm not that great at it. I still need to, you know, I still need to work on a lot of things within it. But as far as like the element of it and like the heart of the tapes, like it's all, you know, it's all there. You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like if it feels like you're damn near picking up from where the tapes left off. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I really enjoy, because it's like it feels like Houston when you listen to it. You know what I'm saying? And it feels like what I remember it to be. You know what I'm saying? Like I remember even like when I was young, my dad took me to the Capitol, like, and I don't even think I knew what it was until like I grew up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I was out there and I was just like, "What is all this ass on bikes and titties out and all this?" I'm 8 years old and I'm just like, "Whoa, what's going on? What is all this?" But like being in that element of like that world and just seeing it and like understanding what it was and all that kind of stuff and understanding the Houston culture in general is just like, is dope as hell. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of outsiders don't really understand, you know, what it meant to live in that realm of time when that was real popular.
I think people who live outside of Houston, like artists wise, they don't get like anytime, like, you know, say my band or someone releases a single, right? The first thing I'm waiting for is when that Chopped and Screwed remix is going to come out. I can't wait for that. And I know people, you know, in other, you know, cities and states obviously don't understand that, but there's something about you just want to hear how it sounds screwed.
Because like, everything sounds better screwed. Everything,
it really does.
It honestly, at the end of the day, like, it just sounds better screwed. Like, a lot of stuff sounds better screwed. Like, that's exactly why I did the Chopped and Screwed Yeezus album, because I understood, like, people wasn't liking it because it wasn't old Kanye and all this kind of stuff.
Is that the one that got into Time?
Yeah, that was the one that got into LA Times.
Where was my shout out at?
Your shout out on what?
I sent you that link.
What, to LA? Oh, honestly, when that happened, I was
you wanted to shout out on the tape, Peaches?
No, I'm being funny.
I was at Springboard Music Festival with the they had with Slim Thug and
yeah. I think I saw you up there.
Yeah, and when we was there, I was doing an interview with somebody, and like my tweets was going crazy, and I was like, "What's going on?" And they was like, "Bro, you made the LA Times." I was like, "Huh?" You know, like I didn't even know that was even possible that could happen off of doing that, but like that happened. But originally,
you were like the first one who came out with Yeezus.
Yeah,
it was like the next day.
I was the first one, because I figured if I can get it, like, why not do it? And plus, Kanye's my favorite artist in general, so it's like, if I'm a, like, I didn't want to do Chopped and Screwed albums because they had Chop Stars that was doing it and Slim K was doing them and stuff like that. So I didn't even want to get in that world of doing it. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, like with the, like, I love the album. I love Yeezus.
You did. You liked it.
Yeah.
What'd you like about Yeezus?
It's the musicality of the project more so, and then like what is doing for hip hop in general. Hip hop in general is just like it's introducing the idea that you don't have to do traditional hip hop music. Like you can branch out and do what they're doing out there and have a hip hop, you know, feel to it, and just do it how you want to do it. Because it's less. You know, bar hook, bar hook, bar hook, but more so just like musical,
just like go,
yeah, just like listen to it, you know, enjoy it for what it is, and I can respect that a lot, and to understand like that younger generations will hear that and understand like they can make music however they want to. It doesn't have to be just, you know, I rap there's a chorus, and then that's the track. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's pushing the element. And even you heard that on, you know, Magna Carta Holy Grail. Like, Jay-Z kind of did that, where he just did whatever he wanted to do with it. It's not
Did his thing.
Yeah, he just did.
It's kind of refreshing.
It's beautiful, actually, because it's just like, you know, for them to have that type of influence and power on the world, or in America in general, it's just kind of like for them to actually take the like take that step in music and make it what it is.
I don't know how long everybody going to let 2 Chainz keep rapping with that same cadence.
Hey, man, I like the. It worked. I like this.
I'm going to let you. Like, it's.
You
like
talking about the All Me record?
I like Drake. I don't really.
Well, if you're going to say that, you might as well say that about French Montana, too, because, I mean, he has that same. I never said
I was a fan of French Montana.
I liked all three verses on the All Me record.
I liked all of them on All Me, too. And, like, Drake's.
I think Sean went the hardest.
And Drake's definitely at that I'm the shit, can't nobody fuck with me stage. And it's just kind of like.
He deserves it.
I mean, yeah, he earned it. I mean, it's just kind of like when. You remember when Wayne got up there? Like, back in, what, 2007?
But Wayne worked. The thing about it is, Wayne worked really hard to get there.
Yeah, he's.
But here's the thing, Wayne didn't hold on to that.
No,
I don't think he gave a fuck. Yeah, I don't think he gave a fuck.
I think after he wanted to prove a point so bad that after he got proven, there was nothing else for him to prove.
Exactly. So he's just like chilling out.
Like,
yeah, but he then don't put out albums.
I mean it,
there's still
like,
a demand
he's
though.
Still, he's
yeah, still a demand for music.
At the end of the day, they don't.
They're
like,
bad.
No, they're not. They're just not. He's doing what he wants to do. He's not trying to appease the masses anymore. You gonna fuck with Wayne because you fuck with Wayne. Like.
If anything, I think it's the opposite. I think he's forcing it now. He's like, well, man, I got to put out an album.
Or it's not. He's not trying. He wanted to. So, I mean, but why does he have to try? Like, it's always different.
Well, you think that mean that you can use the same concept with Kanye or Jay?
Yeah.
I mean, they're already good. Why do they have to try to make good
albums?
That's what
I'm
saying. Different kind of artist. Kanye made what he wanted to make. That's why everybody.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the production on Kanye's project was from Travis Scott.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, Travis you know, Scott, he doesn't even really need to do the production on his own stuff if he doesn't want. Like, he probably put that together like last minute. That's why it's no heavy promotion at all, and there was no, you know. Super anything for Kanye, for Yeezus.
No, I don't think it was last minute. I think that he kept it under wraps because he didn't know the perception of it. I think that, because you know, when we first, before it came out, I didn't feel that way. I changed my mind after I heard it.
I changed mine a lot of times.
But
I like the album now. I prejudged it.
I appreciate it. And I don't know, maybe it's just the phase life that I'm in now, but I appreciate it because he did what he wanted to do to express himself creatively. And I think that that's something that the hip-hop culture is lacking as a whole. Everybody's rapping now to rap. Like, no matter who you meet now, they're a rapper. Like, literally met a dude yesterday, dude live in Atlanta. He's like, well, what should I do to get my music out? You in Atlanta and you asking me? You're in Atlanta.
Oh, speaking of Atlanta, shout out Cam Wallace. That's my nigga. He's still out
hey,
there.
Cam.
I just wanted to shout him.
Shout out to Cam.
Holding down for Houston out there in that ATL, baby.
You know, we're talking about hip hop, though, and this is an interesting headline. Legendary hip hop group, Public Enemy, which is Chuck D and Flav.
I already know where you're going with this.
Yeah, I want to tell people who don't know. He put out like a little interview or video yesterday with GigWise. A GigWise interview. And Flav was talking about the current state of hip-hop. And this is what he said. Flav shouted out Lil Wayne, Nicki Minaj, Ludacris, Jay-Z, Kendrick Lamar, 50 Cent, and Snoop Dogg, saying that they all make great rap records, but ultimately declared none of them are real hip-hop artists. So what do y'all think about that?
They
branched out into other avenues.
Yeah, what's a real hip hop artist?
I think with him, I think with Public Enemy, like they had when they was rapping with a super strong message because that
you mean
was,
when Chuck D was rapping?
Yeah, well, yeah, and then you know, Flav was just spazzing.
But
Flav
can't talk because he is part of this reality TV downward spiral.
Yeah,
if to say that he
and
didn't
for hip hop, he was the first one, probably right.
Yeah, like he, you know what I'm saying? But
maybe Dame Dash beat him, maybe Ultimate Hustler.
I think, well, honestly, though, at the end of the day.
But Flavor Love was epic. Like, Flavor Love was epic.
But at the end of the day, I think Public Enemy had, like, they had a different message to speak than any of our generation. Because, we're not going through anything right now.
Well, I'm not going to say that, but I'm going to say that. Well, because I'm not gonna say that we're not going through anything. I'm gonna say that
of a big magnitude, of a strong man too, like, you know, police brutality and all that kind of stuff, and like, you know,
so we're not like racist.
I mean, we're going through, but not as intensely as pay,
it's
say,
not the Rodney from the King 60s era, or
the not early 90s.
Is that
80s?
Because we're not paying that? Like, again, you remember I told you when we were coming in, I was like, you can make a direct line reference from where the music is to where the culture is.
Of Black America. Think,
yeah, it's
AB. Yeah, like
it's super
line.
Like
it's a stupid.
Yeah, people don't understand like hip hop is the Black culture.
That's what I'm saying. It's not that those things aren't important. It's that we have a very short memory. We rapping about ass and titties, and that's all that.
And
is that your church?
It doesn't require you to think as much when you listen to that kind of stuff. You
right.
Just,
so it's not that those things aren't as important or don't need to be in the forefront. It's just that nobody's gonna listen to that when they can listen to something they don't have to think about.
Yeah, you want to just enjoy the music, honestly. But honestly, music should be as strong as to where you listen to it and you're enjoying it, and you're not even know what you're subconsciously embodying. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, sure, but you're not subconsciously embodying anything.
But I see what Tori is also saying is like, in the '80s, basically in the '80s, they were Nancy Reagan was sitting on tanks, mowing down crack houses, all right, going after Black people, right? So I understand why Public Enemy was like, yeah, fight the power, rebel without a pause. All right.
It's the same thing with NWA. It's like
it was pre-NWA.
They were going through something at that time, so they had to have voices in music to represent that. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
right now, it's just
because
those
things
were
more of a united. But that's what I'm saying. I'm not gonna sit here and say that there aren't things that need to be addressed. I'm gonna just sit here and say that they're not being addressed. Like, nobody is saying anything about the amount of killings that are going on in Chicago. It's really being
there are mentions
on.
Of it. There's not anything
there's
that's being
of it,
done.
But look how bad it is, and they're mentioning it.
But
I mean,
hey, here's the thing.
Think about Lupe's career. Like, he's the one that's trying to like expose that world, and like nobody's paying him attention. And Kanye and Jay-Z didn't watch the throne, and just kind of like it kind of like breezes by.
And again, because
you would
you
think
have,
with the president being from Chicago.
I mean,
but again, that's a whole like that's an entirely different thing, because then you're going into politics and it don't work.
It's more about Black representation than anything, because it's like when you hold a higher power and you're of you know the African American culture, like you represent us. So like the things that you speak on and the things that you address and the things that you touch bases with, like we're looking at that and we're hoping that you use that platform to do that, so that you know, and like with Obama even speaking, you know, giving his presidential address or whatever.
On the Trayvon Martin thing?
Yeah, and speaking on Trayvon Martin and how, you know, how he could have been.
That's a damn conspiracy, and I really don't my thing is, like, okay. again, I'm going to say it was very sad what happened. And I'm not saying that I'm not sympathetic, but understand that.
It was a terrible thing.
It was a terrible thing, but I am a grade A conspiracy theorist, and for me, this goes beyond that. It was not about him from the moment that it hit the media. Like, the moment that it got given out, like, there are things that people aren't paying attention to. If you look at a picture from George Zimmerman from when the incident happened to when he went, everybody know that he gained all that weight. Nobody looks into why you gained that weight. He don't look like the same man. He's more sympathetic to an eye of a jury, fatter. He doesn't look like he could have defended himself. He looks helpless.
Yeah.
He's more sympathetic to the eye, bigger. Because how can an overweight man defend himself against an able-bodied Black teenager, right? What case have they ever just dreamed like that, ever, the entire thing? They've never done it. Not like that. It was...
Yeah,
it,
you can wake up and watch that whole... Like,
you know what I'm saying? Like, that really,
was,
like, you...
That was the easiest case for me to ever follow, period.
To follow ever. Like, you didn't have to turn on the TV to watch it. You could watch it over the internet. And it was streaming.
Or New Rules.
It was streaming live. They sat there and was like, we're going to do this, and then you're going to watch us do it.
Yeah.
Like, on top of the fact that literally they sat there and said, down to the letter, he didn't get convicted off of technicalities of the law. Literally. Like, literally. So people can be outraged and be mad at all these things, but it's like you're not looking at the bigger picture that everybody just, like, they was playing and it was a pawn piece. And it's like, what you gonna do now? So y'all gonna go out and riot? Okay, so we're gonna take more of you to jail. Now what?
Yeah, okay, I understand. Like the riot thing
saying?
Didn't really
so
make a lot of sense.
So he came
to
Texas.
To
he came to Texas and got pulled over in a small town. Small towns make revenue for their towns.
Forney, Texas.
Through te- Forney not small though. They didn't say it was Forney. Forney's not a small town. Forney's one of those rich white areas.
Never heard of Forney, but keep going.
Did he have a gat on him or something?
Regardless.
Yeah, he had a gun.
Regardless, that's how towns make money though for the city is through tickets.
Hell yeah.
Because you either, especially small towns, because typically you're not going to come back to pay the ticket. You're typically going to pay that so you don't have to come back. So they're going to get their money. They wouldn't let anybody go. I'm pulling a conspiracy card on that one.
I don't too much subscribe to conspiracy theories. I like to listen to them. I don't too much think it was a conspiracy. Although, I mean, I'm not saying you don't make valid points. I think
I know I'm making valid
points. I'm going to pull the, I'm not going to look that deeply into it because I'm going to get mad if I do. So I'm just going to stay out of that. Like, that's how I usually handle stuff that, like, I feel very compelled towards. So I'm just like, all right, let me just not entertain that.
What do you think about prominent hip-hop stars and mainstream stars, for that matter, boycotting performances in Florida due to the Stand Your Ground law, such as Jay-Z and Justin Timberlake?
If you can do something of a great Stevie magnitude, why don't you try to do it at least? I mean, people are going to pay attention to that. I saw the interview that Jay-Z had, and he was talking about how mad he was and how he couldn't go to sleep for 2 days and, you know, how affected he was by it. And, like, for that to even hit him and, like, make him feel a certain type of way is just kind of like, you know, it's something like that. That type of magnitude of an effect on a person really shows you like what's really going on with that whole situation.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just kind of like, you know, it's
but I do also, I didn't mean to cut you off. I do understand what you were saying about a prominent black figure speaking out upon an issue. And then more people who listen, like Obama is a very influential person.
Yeah.
Be it black, white, Asian, whatever you are.
Yep.
He's, you know, probably the most influential person in the world when he speaks.
Exactly.
That's a big thing. So if he brought light to the murders in Chicago or something, maybe people would start trying to do something about it. And I know there have been several news stories about it. And maybe even Oprah. Oprah's from Chicago. She's probably the second highest.
A lot of people from dangerous cities are usually prosperous. It's kind of crazy if you think about it.
It's weird. Yeah, it is weird if you do think about it.
Because you learn how to survive.
Yeah, you
can. Survivors.
Honestly, if you can survive in the ghetto, you can survive anything else that you go through. Like, my family's from Eggers Homes, and like that's like pure ghetto. Like, that's literally like.
Let me ask you this: did you ever see Riff Raff out there?
No, I seen Riff Raff at Sharptown back when I was younger. Though I will tell you that nigga was actually out there slanging them tapes, like looking crazy as hell still. Actually, my homeboy, he told me a story about how Riff Raff had hopped in his car, and he was like, "Nigga, what are you doing? Like, get out my shit!" Like at Sharptown. And man, but that was back in the days when Sharpstown was like live, like Saturdays at Sharpstown. If you wasn't there, you wasn't shit. Like, oh man, it used to be so that mall, and then the mall that they had Northline when they had the Magic City movie theater,
mm-hmm.
and Greens Point, aka Guns Point. Like all the malls used to be live back then, like super live back in like.
I think that was a mall thing though, because it was like that in Dallas.
In Houston though, like in Houston, it was so like you can go to the malls and like. Whatever came out today, you can tell based off of what people was wearing in the mall.
I mean, that's what
thing.
I'm saying. I think that was a mall thing because I could go and name, you know, malls in Dallas and give you an example of, you know, the ones that.
Maybe it is a mall thing. Either
it
way.
It could possibly
like,
be.
That was just, that like, I don't know. Maybe it's because it was in Houston and I like that. You know, it was different for me because, I mean, I went to like Grapevine and stuff like that when I would go out of town.
I mean, but those were bigger malls. Grapevine is equivalent
but
to Katie Mills.
It wasn't like was ghetto like our shit, though.
Like, well, Katie Mills isn't ghetto.
I know Katie Mills is not ghetto. I'm saying like.
But that's what I'm saying. Grapevine is equivalent to Katie Mills. If I was going to name a Sharpstown in Dallas, it would be something like Redbird.
Big T.
Only went
key
to
is but is Kingsmart just
we,
upgraded.
Yeah, we used to have at Kingsmart and
that's
like right
that's,
now his home, but that hole used to be live too.
Big T isn't what it used to be. Like Big T used to be like the spot, like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday after church.
That's how Kingsmart was too. And Niggas Home. Like it was live. I'm mad that it shut down. I would wanna like rebuild that hole and run that hole back.
I only went to two malls, Baybrook
and
the Galleria.
The Woodlands.
In the Deerbrook.
I never went to Woodlands. I've
been to Deerbrook. I've been to Baybrook.
Yeah, Baybrook. Baybrook. The Galleria. What's that? Shoot.
I
it's an outdoor like
you know
clearance
what you should go
mall.
To. You should go to Gallery Furniture. That's a fun place to go to.
Have you? Yeah, Mattress Mac.
Man, they have like roller coaster rides in there. They got like candies of. They have. Barrels. This is back when I went.
The
they
one
had
on barrels
of yeah. They had like barrels of Jolly Ranchers, like sitting there. You can just grab them. They got like
I remember those.
They giving out cookies. that pit, sometimes they fire the pit up just because, like, that was a, that used to be the spot. Like, they used to have an 80-inch screen outside for people to come.
Went to that,
like,
Chinese restaurant buffet.
I think it's inside now.
China Bear?
Yeah.
Yeah, China Bear's live. And outside, baby, we got a couple things up there. We about to get a new amusement park, too, in 2015.
I know.
Where?
Right, what? It's, like, right off of 59.
I was on FaceTime with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's, like, it's going to be called, it's called Grand Texas. You should look out for that. It's supposed to be, like, 6 times bigger than Astroworld. So,
yo, I miss Astroworld like crazy.
Everybody does. I don't like
Waterworld. Actually, I miss a little more. I'm not gonna lie.
I wasn't a big fan of Waterworld.
I'm a water park guy.
I like water parks. I'm going to Splash Town. Like, honestly,
but it was Waterworld.
But
town Splash, versus nah, world.
Splash Town on the outside was way different. It was like
Disneyland.
It was just like it was a water park that was world. Astroworld. You know?
Yeah.
It was just like, and that was for the that, like that's Northside's. That's Northside's. Theme park is Splash Town. Like, it's still holding it down. You know what I'm saying? Still,
I like Disney World. Disney World's always a great place to go to. I know that's not in Houston.
I like Universal Studios. I want to actually
Universal's
the one in the Six Flags in Atlanta is that shit. Like, they got about 25 rides and like all of them.
I didn't even know there was a Six Flags in Atlanta.
No, that one
Six
is
Flags
like that's
started
the
in Texas, right?
Six Flags over Georgia, I think so, because like
Six
the Six Flags come
Texas.
From like the Six Flags of Texas.
Yeah, yeah. There were six countries that had the rights of the property of Texas.
Yeah, did you know that?
You know that one, Peaches?
Yeah.
Do you know them, Tori?
Yeah, it's like the Republic of Texas, and it was a whole... I don't know all of them, honestly.
It's,
Mexico had a...
I got it, right? France, Spain, Mexico, Republic of Texas, Confederate States of America, United States of America.
There you go. Six flags, baby.
Wow, six. There's six of them. Count them. One, two, three, four,
Texas
five,
history,
six.
Baby. Actually, there was a Texas history class. Did you take that? Do you take Texas history
in the seventh grade?
In Dallas,
yeah, seventh grade.
It's still in Texas, Tori.
Oh, I'm just making. I didn't go. I was in school in Dallas, so I had to make sure they was doing that up there. I don't know what they do in Dallas.
Duncanville actually is a very good school. That wasn't a hood school. Like we're like top tier academia, and I graduated from Rockwall. Rockwall is like top tier. We was on a 5.0 scale instead
bougie.
Of 4.0.
You said you went to a predominantly white institution, right?
I graduated from a predominantly white school. Yeah,
bougie. That's where she gets it from.
That is where I learned how to be refined.
Hollywood.
Can you tell the listening audience and auditory the quote that you told me in the car?
That I was eloquent than a bitch.
Yes.
Nice.
That's not the top 10 greatest quote of all time. Okay, so Tori, you got Love It May. Volume 3 is out right now.
Yeah.
DJ Auditory and Los Cosby.
Just recorded Volume 4 last night, so that's coming out real soon.
And how can people get these?
Well, I got some hard copies left. If anybody wants some, you can come get them from me.
See, I have hard copy 49 out of 100.
Yeah, there's only 100 of them. We're only going to make like limited copies of each one so that, you know, the bigger it gets, the more exclusive each one is. So it's just kind of like, if you got
now,
one.
Now, people can only get these physically?
No, you can also get this online at djauditory.com. That's where I have all my stuff. Everything.
Free download?
Yeah, free download. All my mixtapes, everything, all my press, all my, like, I blog for my website too. So all that is on djauditory.com.
Peachy, we need to get a screw skit. That's what we need to do.
We should get a screw skit.
We should get a screw skit auditory. I'm just throwing that, putting that out in the atmosphere.
I mean, we can make that happen. I mean, I'm always down to try to make some stuff happen.
Well, definitely DJ Auditory. You can get this, 11 May Volume 3 on djauditory.com
or loscosby.com.
Or loscosby.com.
Yes, sir.
But DJ Auditory's name is the first on the mixtape. So let's go with DJauditory.com.
He ain't about that dumb shit.
That's funny.
I'm just saying, Brad be coming up with stuff, and I really don't be knowing how he got there.
Hey, I'm left-handed.
Hey, left-handed is unite. Woo.
You're lefty?
Yes, sir.
Power to the people.
You do the most awkward male bonding.
How you? What do you mean?
What?
I'm left-handed. We just made a connection here.
I just said you do the most awkward male bonding.
What are we, the hip-hop Dalmatians? Like,
yeah.
We're here.
We're here.
Everybody thinks they're here with Brad.
220.
And he gets excited when everybody leaves and be like, "Hey, I think we're friends. I think they really like
us. I think we're best friends now. I'm gonna say it on air. How about that?
You still gonna tell me in the car?
No, because you have to get home and it's in the morning time. I'm gonna go back to sleep after this interview.
<All right. laughs> It's not even. We're off. We're just all off. It's not even our fake regular day.
Well, it's really if we go by our fake weeks. Today is actually fake Wednesday morning.
Oh boy,
it's a fake Wednesday to be a fake Monday because typically we do fake Wednesdays, but it's a Friday and
typically we do fake Mondays on real Wednesdays. But today is an actual Friday, so it's really
a Friday
on
a fake Wednesday for a fake Monday.
That's too much fakeness. I can't rock with that.
Tori's not down with the fake. Well, Tori, tell him your Twitter and all that one more time.
Everything.
Two rights make a left. Two right. Two lefts make a right. Three.
Three right. Three lefts make a right.
Start. Got back where you started.
It's okay, but it's only two lefts in here. All right. Yeah. DJ Auditory, everything. Instagram, Twitter, Vine.
Dr. DJ Auditory.
Dr. DJ Auditory.
DJ Steady Teddy.
220.
You remember that?
We are 220.com.
You kind of look like a honeygram.
Do I?
A Teddy Graham?
I've been trying to figure out my complexion. And it's
I would say Teddy Graham. I would say Teddy Graham honey.
I was thinking cinnamon. I was going with cinnamon for a long time, but
I'm
losing
red enough for cinnamon.
Yeah, you don't have like a you're like a
nutmeg, right?
Like a honey Teddy Graham.
Why do I have that?
Yeah, a honey Teddy Graham's perfect.
Actually, okay,
the gold pack.
Yeah. Actually,
but I like the cinnamon pack.
But you're not cinnamon though.
Yeah, you just can't make it there yet, man.
You the gold pack of Teddy Grahams.
I don't have to discuss this. I know who I am.
You the gold pack of Teddy Graham, and he says you look like a Teddy Graham, which isn't that far off.
See?
Teddy Grahams are cute.
I'm limited edition. Yeah, of course. I that's what I learned too. I'm cute. Like I'm cute. The fuck is cute?
Yeah, like you're like I think cute on a female scale is right before ugly.
Yeah. So it's like yeah, you're cute. You're handsome.
I don't know. Personally, cute pretty scares me. Pretty dudes.
Oh, you're pretty.
I'm glad I'm not by pretty.
Oh, pretty guys?
I really get judged.
Like guys that are pretty, it's like, why are you so pretty?
Because they have feminine features? Is that what
you
mean?
No, like some, it's like, I guess, you know how you see a girl and like, she's like classically pretty?
Yeah.
Like, she's pretty. She's not beautiful. She's not fine. She's just pretty.
And Jennifer Aniston.
Girls, I don't think she's pretty.
Tripping. She's pretty. She's not like, oh my God. She's not like, oh yeah, Jennifer Aniston. No. Dig it.
No.
Maya's pretty. She's gorgeous.
She's pretty. Her face is like, you be like, she's cute. She's pretty. She's pretty.
Exactly.
Some dudes is just
falling,
pretty.
Head over heels, I'm falling.
You got it.
Love with you, I'm falling.
Why do people go to those two songs? Like, I think when you think of Maya, I think of Case of the X and My Love Is Like Whoa.
What you gonna do?
I think of a record. I think of a record called My Bra.
How you gonna act? Handle it? What you gonna do?
Oh, I think of the song with her and Nicki Minaj, The Ponytail.
Don't know it.
Really? It was on a mixtape she did.
Maya still makes music?
It's
in my bedroom.
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj was still
mixtape Nicki.
Mixtape Nicki. I was a huge fan. Like the mixtape she did with Gucci.
Yo, I like current Nicki rapping right now. I like that she's not doing all the crazy.
Nah, cause she rapping right now. I don't like. I'm not gonna say she can't sing. I'm not a fan of Nicki singing.
I love
Nicki talking shit.
I love current Nicki's attire.
She's cute
physique.
Right now.
Oh, her physique. God, she is like. She's like what I've been waiting for her to become. Like I was like, all right, watch. I'm like, crazy shit's gonna stop. Then she's gonna calm down. Then she's gonna be up.
She's trying to twerk in every music video though, and she's not that great at it.
That don't matter. Look at that ass.
No, it's something to admire in a woman when you watch a woman mature because it makes it feel like it's okay to be a little
classier.
Not even that.
Be a little ghetto.
Not
be a little ratchet.
A little ratchet. A little bit more womanly. Like to embrace like. Because you can kind of tell, you know, when...
A ratchet is a classy ghetto chick.
I am the queen ratchet.
Exactly,
I am
that's what I'm saying.
I'm a sophisticated ratchet, though.
She's a bougie ratchet.
Yeah.
You got
a slight bouge
look
to
at your,
you.
Look at your hair.
It's Peruvian.
What
are
you gonna do when you get home?
Put it in the bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Put it up. Protective style and shit.
Bougie.
That makes me bougie.
No, yep. I'm just saying, like...
It might. It depends on what I do.
Put some moisturizer on and shit.
No, you're not supposed to moisturize. That's what it
said.
See,
you know... Yeah,
exactly.
That's what
the back. See how she snapped?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see how she snapped?
Twitter said...
Twitter said...
I ain't never afforded no hair like that. What was it, like $400 a bag? $500? A stack?
A G.
This hair was provided to me by BobbyBitchHair.com.
Hey, I'm not getting a check cut, all right? So until they cut a check for Brad Gilmore.
This hair is the check. Do you know how much this hair costs? You know how much hair is in
can
my
I
head?
Can I chop it off and sell it? I'm
trying to tell you, she got about a stack in her head.
I have about a stack in my head.
It's at least a rack. She got a rack. Say
nah,
stack anymore.
Rack is too small. That's about a
so
stack.
It's a stack,
a rack
100,
like,
or a rack is 1,000?
A rack is 1,000?
A stack's 10,000?
I think so. That's
I thought they're both thousand.
A stack was 100 and a rack was
1,000.
No,
they're both 1,000.
100 is a bill, a rack is 1,000, and I believe a stack is 10,000. But I mean, I'm too broke to know about that. So
I think they're both 1,000.
I thought a rack was 1,000 and a stack was like a stack of bills into 100, but that makes more sense what you said.
No, they're both, stack and rack are both 1,000.
A stack is 10 racks.
No, there's 1,000.
That's what I think.
I think. Well,
if you stack 10 racks, listeners, I mean, I haven't stacked 10 racks.
Listeners of the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand, help us figure out what's the difference between a stack and a rack. Hit us on Twitter. It's at Brad Gilmore Show.
What's a rack?
Yeah. Hashtag what's a stack? What's a rack? Really? Hashtag fake Monday morning.
Is this on ghettotranslations.com? What's the name of that site?
Oh, you can probably. Oh, Urban Dictionary?
Yeah.
You can
find
it there. Wow, you just completely messed that one up. All right.
I am an Urban Dictionary.
For Tata La Peaches, for the.
You're not for me.
Hologram.
I don't need DJ Motai.
And for DJ Auditory. Tune in next week to the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.